Sunday. Presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com. And also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank. This is NFL Sunday with Jermaine Wiggins and Rich Keefe. Broadcasting from the Best Yet Studios in Boston. NFL Sunday. Presented by Kaplansky Insurance. Wiggy and Keefe on WEEI.
Hour number two of NFL Sunday. Keefe and Wiggy taking it up until 2:30. And then we'll have the remaining two divisional round games coming up for you here on WEEI. Houston and Kansas City at 3. And then Seattle, Green Bay at 6:40. Tom E. Kern will join us about 1 hour from now. But Tom Brady was on with Jim Gray. And was we haven't heard Tom Brady in a while. In fact, since the loss to the Titans a week ago in that post-game press conference. So we're going to play the entire thing. It's only like 4 minutes. We're going to play the entire thing. And then what we can do is what we do with every Tom Brady interview or press conference. Mm-hmm. We can go over every single word that he says,
right,
and determine whether or not he wants to be back here or play somewhere else.
Right. And before you do that, I had asked you this question right before we went to break.
Yes.
And this is just, would you be interested in this guy? Is Derrick Henry's going to be a free agent?
Of course I'd be interested in Derrick Henry.
But he's probably going to get Ezekiel Elliott money.
Yeah, I would say so.
So would you still feel like, you know, Ezekiel Elliott got, what, 6 years, $90 million? What about 60 million guaranteed?
Yeah. Can I trade Sony Michel for something? What is his trade value? Of course I would take Derrick Henry, but I don't see the Patriots spending that kind of money on an offensive player. He's gonna cash in.
Or do you think that Tennessee will give him that money?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they're going to the conference championship game. I think they might win that game.
So they're gonna
have to give it to him.
And what about Tannehill?
So they could always franchise. They could,
interesting,
but they could franchise one of them and then re-sign the other. And then Tannehill is gonna be an interesting kind of. Like, all right, do you want to test the open market, go somewhere else, and maybe be as good as you were in Miami? Clearly, you're good here.
Right.
So, but we're not going to give you $30 million a year.
You're only good here because you got Derrick Henry behind you.
So I think it might be easier for them, and this came out a few weeks ago, that they were trying to work on an extension mm-hmm. with Ryan Tannehill, which would make sense to, and maybe it gets ugly with Henry. Maybe it turns into an Ezekiel Elliott situation where they're like, hey, we don't want to go crazy, but we can always franchise you. And then it's like Le'Veon Bell and everything else.
Right. It should be interesting next year for the Titans. Like that's one of the things when you look at, because you know there were reports Tannehill's going to get $30 million franchise tag, and now it's like, well, Derrick Henry's a free agent too.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it is. You got your quarterback and then your best player though on this run that you're on, and you wonder like, had they just lost to the Patriots, maybe you look at it a little bit different. But now that they're winning,
Tannehill's a guy that you could say, hey, listen. Take this.
Yeah.
Be happy with what we're going to get.
You're our starter.
You're our starter.
You're our guy.
You'll be our starter for the next couple of years.
You're better here than you ever were.
You probably are not going to break the bank if you go elsewhere.
And then you look at the teams that really need a quarterback. And like this also will get into our conversation with Tom Brady because we're trying to figure out where he could possibly go. I think teams like Dallas probably re-signs Dak.
Yep.
Tampa Bay might be forced to re-sign Jameis.
There were reports that they were going to re-sign him. Did you hear about those reports that he would be back in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, like the last week of the regular season, they were saying that he might be back. I mean, Drew Brees, I think, is going to be back in New Orleans.
Yes. There's not going to be many options for Brady.
No. I think it's going to be Miami. It's going to be the Chargers. Because the Colts, I don't think he's going to go. I just don't think he would go to the Colts. There was somebody who was talking about that too. They're like, you really think Giselle's going to go live in Indianapolis?
Yeah, that's Schefter when we had him.
Schefter
on
said that with you guys, right? I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
That seems like a weird one. LA or Miami, I feel like you could. It's like a real place, no?
Well, I mean, Willie McGinnis said that Giselle doesn't like California.
But she lived there for a while with Brady.
Right, so.
Maybe that's why she doesn't like it.
Yeah, right. So she knows better than anybody. Like, I really don't want to go back there, Tom.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's see if Tom Brady gave us any kind of details or any kind of nuggets into what he's going to be doing next year.
Tommy, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Jim. Good talking to you.
Tommy, always good to talk to you. You sent out an Instagram on your account a couple of days ago. And in it, you said, failure is inevitable, but you have to pick yourself up with great enthusiasm and place yourself in the arena again. So are you saying definitively, Tommy, that you will play football next season?
Yeah, absolutely. That's my plan. And, you know, I think every year that goes by, you know, I just feel grateful to still be doing what I really love to do. And I've been so blessed to find a career I love with the best teammates who go to battle with me, incredible organization that I said believes in me, and for the best fans in the country who have always been behind us. So, you know, I really love football, and hopefully I just can continue to do what I love to do.
You said, I know I still have more to prove. What do you have to prove, and to who?
Well, it's always been proving it to myself and being motivated internally to push myself to the limits. And sometimes the limits push back. I've experienced that. But I also think I'm inspired by so many people who push the limits. You know, I watch a lot of movies. I love watching documentaries of incredible human feats. And they're inspiring when people climb these mountains and do things that people never thought were possible. And I'm at a certain point in my career where people think that what I'm doing is to a degree impossible. For me, it's about continuing to prove to myself that I can lay it all on the line and we can still try to achieve the ultimate goal, which is winning Super Bowls.
You will be a free agent in mid-March. Up until that time, you can only speak to the Patriots. Are you right now negotiating with the Patriots?
The contract things, I think a week after the season, I would say these things haven't even started to pick up. So that's really not my concern at this point. It's been about decompressing and resting my mind a little bit and resting my body and spending time with the people who have supported me over the last 6 months.
The owner of the organization, Bob Kraft, said earlier this week that it was his hope and prayer that you stayed with the Patriots or that you retire. Tom, you're the only one that can make that determination. You're the guy who can answer his hopes and his prayers. When will you make that determination?
Well, I think, like I said, I love playing football and I love playing for this organization. So I really don't know what it looks like moving forward, and I'm just taking it day to day. So we're a week removed from the end of our season. There's a lot of time to figure these things out. I don't think any player or team is ready to make any commitments at this point. And I'm sure as the offseason progresses, you know, those things will take care of themselves.
Tom, there's a tremendous amount of speculation as to where you're going to play next season. Every outlet and every expert now has you going from anywhere to 14 to 17 different teams. I know you say you don't pay attention to what is written or what is printed. However, you cannot avoid this because being in Boston, it's just everywhere. How are you dealing with all of this speculation and seemingly everybody knowing where you're going more so than you know?
Well, I can only say how I feel, and that's, you know, what's the truth to me and what's authentic to me. And you're right. I have no decisions that I've made, and there won't be for any considerable time. So I know there's speculation. There always is. That's just part of being in professional sports and being a professional athlete. And, you know, when people aren't talking about this season, they want to talk about next season. And the reality is next season's quite a ways away. So I have some other things that are happening at this time. Like I said, spending some time with my family and my loved ones and giving them the time they need. And then as people begin to plan for next season, like I said, these things will take care of themselves.
All right, there you go. That's Tom Brady on with Jim Gray. Mm-hmm. And we will break down everything that he said, Wiggy, coming up. But first, we have breaking news.
Breaking news. This is Breaking News on Sports Radio WEEI.
According to Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, and others, the Cleveland Browns are planning to hire Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski as their next head coach, meaning that Josh McDaniels
will be back.
Will be back as the offensive coordinator of the Pats.
I thought we kind of knew that. I mean, we couldn't have
nailed it. You were right about this again. You're on a bit of a heater by the way. Holy smokes.
I think Foyer needed, he might have to give me some credit. He's normally scoops, but I should have to.
And I think, what do you think it was when the Browns were watching the game plan for the Vikings yesterday? They were like, we need this guy. Look at, he won't throw to his two best receivers. Right. Their offense looks inept. This is the guy that we want.
No, but didn't they want him last year? Wasn't that a big report?
Yes, he was reportedly the runner-up to Freddie Kitchens last year. So they get Kevin Stefanski from the Vikings. So this offseason had five NFL head coaching openings.
Right.
The Redskins hired Ron Rivera immediately.
Right.
The Cowboys were pretty quick on Mike McCarthy.
Yep.
And then there was three jobs that Josh was supposed to interview with. never got the interview with Carolina.
And those guys, and those other three jobs, two of the three went just as quick. Carolina was quick with Matt Rhule.
It was quick, but also, but not as quick as like Rivera. Like,
No. I mean, once they, once they targeted their guys, they, it was quick on who they went with.
McDaniels didn't even get to interview. He was scheduled to interview with both. He didn't. And in fact, you could look at it as though Belichick maybe prevented him from the Carolina job. Or is it the Giants job?
Or was it his agent? Remember there was...
Or maybe the agent, too. But Josh McDaniels stayed. He postponed his interview by a day so that he could, like, clean up the year-end stuff for the Pats. And then next thing you know, Matt Rhule, Joe Judge. Boom, boom. Carolina and
but
the Giants.
But I think they were the leaders in the clubhouse anyways.
No, they weren't. You think, Matt Rhule was?
Yep.
They, but all the reports were McDaniels was.
Yeah, but why wouldn't they wait? Why wouldn't have they waited?
I think their owner is stupid.
Day.
And I hate to use that word.
You know,
I think
like,
he's stupid, and I think he got all caught up in Matt Rhule's college, hey, let's go get him type of personality. And
right,
he just
but
was
Matt
convinced.
Rhule wasn't going nowhere in 24 hours.
Well, he could have gone to the Giants, right?
Right, but I don't even know if he had interviewed at the Giants yet. So I guess the point that I'm trying to make is, if you Josh McDaniels was your number one guy,
yeah,
you could have waited 24 hours to interview him till Tuesday.
Right.
If you were Carolina,
yeah, you could have. They panicked.
And the same way
Giants.
With the Giants,
yep.
You could have easily
Joe Judge.
Yeah, right. You interviewed Joe Judge. You could have said, "All right, we're going to wait the extra."
But the
day.
Browns interviewed him on Friday. The reports were they flew his wife out with him. He was one of eight candidates, and it seemed like he was their favorite. Why?
Once
do you
he
think-
left, you knew. Once he left it, you
yeah,
knew that was
right.
It. And I was listening to OMF on Friday, and Lou was trying to say, well, I like what the Browns are doing. They're trying to do their due diligence, take their time. And I think it might have been Ordway who said it that, no, this if they really wanted McDaniels, they would have never let him leave the building.
So I personally would not want Josh McDaniels to be my head coach. I think there's too many things – on the negative side.
Isn't that the thought process?
So it seems like, right? Because
you should be an NFL owner.
I should be. I was like, I don't want this guy. Like, would you want Josh McDaniels as your head coach? Like, if you were the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know enough about Kevin Stefanski
I would want him as my head coach.
Really?
I think if I was the Browns, I think I'm hoping he learned from his mistakes, his first go around. Right.
What do you think about the whole thing with the Colts, though? He says he's going to take the job, and then he backs out.
Well, I would ask him about that because...
I would definitely ask
him about that. And I'm willing to bet you there's probably more to the story that we don't know about.
Yeah.
And if I'm an owner, I'm probably good friends with Jim Irsay, and I'm probably looking at Josh like, yeah.
You kidding me?
I can see why he didn't take the job there.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, he's not, you know what I mean? He's not the sharpest pencil in the drawer. So.
And these are some good jobs. Last year, he wanted the Packers job, didn't get it. This year, you look at the three openings, two of them have quarterbacks. You know, Carolina doesn't. That's what Matt Rhule's going to have to figure out. But Joe Judge has Daniel Jones. Kevin Stefanski has Baker Mayfield. And so McDaniels is back, which... As much as I don't want him as a head coach, he obviously works very well with Brady.
Doesn't this bode well for Brady's decision?
This has to help a little bit.
I'd say more than a little bit.
I think he could still go, but it's not like a dramatic everybody's gone. Like it looked like for a minute you could lose Joe Judge, Josh McDaniels, Dante Scarnecchia, Ivan Fears, Brett Bielema. Like you could lose the whole coaching staff, all these free agents. But if McDaniels is back, that's a good sign. And it's a really good sign for Belichick because next year, Belichick might have to also be the offensive coordinator. Like if McDaniels left, who are they going to get?
Right. And when you're talking about Brady and Brady making his decision, I think this is more important than all those other names. Let's just say Josh took the Cleveland job, right?
Yeah.
And everybody else came back. Joe Judge. Ivan Fears, Scar, they all came back. What do you think would weigh more in Brady's mind is his comfort level, having all those guys back, or if all those guys left and Josh McDaniels was still here?
No, I would think McDaniels is the guy that he talks to and spends the most time with.
Right, so him coming back, I think when you look at this is a big sign for Brady's future and him moving forward, because now wherever he goes – he's going to now have to go, all right, I got to work with who?
Yeah.
I got to go to the Chargers and work with Anthony Lynn and who's the offensive coordinator?
Right.
I don't know those guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Miami and Chan Gailey's going to be my offensive
coordinator. Chan Gailey.
You guys have been in football for 3 years.
He's taking some time off.
Or I could, you know, stay here. You know, we could figure out the money. Right. And I could have a great comfort level with Josh McDaniels.
So a lot of breaking news here today. First, Julian Edelman arrested last night for pile driving a car, apparently, out in Beverly Hills. And then Josh McDaniels does not get the Browns job. It was the only one he interviewed for.
That's huge.
It is huge
news right there.
Cleveland goes with Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski, who I don't get that one. I really don't. I liked Eric Bieniemy a lot.
You know what? Maybe they didn't. You know what could have happened? The Browns.
Yeah.
They might have just watched Wildcard Weekend.
Maybe they did, and they said, look at this. They beat the Saints, and they just turned off the games.
Then said, you know what? And then that was it.
No, that's true. Let's go to the phones. We got Calvin and Amherst. He joins us next. What's up, Calvin?
Hey, you guys. What's going on?
What's up?
Hey, so back to the Derrick Henry thing. I think three-time Super Bowl winning champ running back LeGarrette Blount. That one piece the Patriots are missing is that big bully running back. Weigh in on that, all right? I'll listen to you guys.
All right, Calvin, thanks. And that's one of those things where the goal line situation for the Patriots was a huge issue.
Right.
And
Blount was more of a big
finesse. I mean, he's not Derrick Henry, but he could get in the end zone.
Right.
Sonny Michel can't. And you can make a case that if they had a goal line back. So Derrick Henry is way up here. LeGarrette Blount's way down here as far as his overall skill.
Yeah.
But scoring from the 1 yard line,
yes.
They might beat the Titans. If they have the ball, first and goal at the one, up by three, and score a touchdown instead of a field goal, maybe they win. Maybe they're still playing.
Yeah.
Right?
I think they are still playing. And you look
So to answer Calvin's question, they need somebody like that.
And you look at yesterday, we saw it with the
San Francisco?
Yeah, we saw it with the San Francisco 49ers. We know Derrick Henry can do it. But the 49ers, I think they had the ball on first and goal from the one-yard line. Mm-hmm. And they ultimately scored on their second run. I forget who they gave it to, so maybe to the right-hand side.
Yeah.
But you think first and goal from the one-yard line, you should be able to hand it off to your running back. And if you gave him three shots, he should be able to score one.
Right.
But and now, then again, I did go look a little bit, and the run blocking, they were getting blown back,
Patriots.
So, and that plays a little bit of it, but you got to have a guy that, okay, maybe the blocking scheme, like the Rex Burkhead one, the scheme wasn't bad. He's got to be able to run through that guy.
Going back to Josh McDaniels not getting any head coaching jobs, do you think he has any ill will towards Belichick for making him postpone his, not the Cleveland interview, which he didn't get, but he didn't even get the other interviews. Do you think he's annoyed
by
Bill at all?
So the other end was Carolina
and the Giants.
I don't think so, because I would think that if those other teams, if I'm Bill, if they really wanted to talk to you, Josh, they could have waited a day.
Right.
I mean,
I know they both kind of psyched themselves out, didn't they?
You could have waited a day.
Right.
You talk to Joe Judge.
I just feel like if you're a team and you call all these coaches and you're like, hey, I want to do an interview with you on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm an owner of Carolina, that this is a really big job. You should really want it. And if I call you, I'm like, hey, Wiggy, can you come in on Monday? And you're like, how about Tuesday? I'd be like, does this guy really want it?
You're saying, how about
Tuesday? Well, that's what it sounds like to me.
If you're saying, you know, I'd love to definitely, you know how much I want to come in. I want to interview for this thing and whatnot. But there's just, you know how it is. End of the year stuff, just tying up.
Got to button some things up.
Can we please just push it off till tomorrow?
Yeah.
As an owner, you'd go, all
right. And they're like, I guess we're not a top priority for you.
Well, you would think that way. Or you wouldn't say, okay, I give you 24 hours because, you know.
We're going to hire Matt Rhule anyway.
Because if you know you're the Giants and you know it's Joe Judge, you're saying, no one else was really knocking down Joe Judge's door.
No, it was Mississippi State.
Right.
And that was it. It was a college team. And I think the Giants were his only
NFL choice. So
interview.
If you're the Giants and you know, okay, nobody else is we like McDaniels.
Yeah.
If we lose out on Joe Judge, no big deal. We got McDaniels to fall. But that just goes to show you basically the sentiment that you believe or you think is that you wouldn't want him as your head coach. There are we can clearly see now there are owners out there that feel the same way.
Right. We got a little sidetracked. We'll get back to what Tom Brady said to Jim Gray. We'll do that coming up. And I thought there were some interesting things in there, as there always is with Tom Brady. But let's go to Doug down in Florida. He joins us next. What's up, Doug?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What up?
We're talking about McDaniels leaving. And if you look at the play calling for this past season, it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. The one play set that always seemed to work was when we had Burkhead and White in at the same time. And Brady would have two options to dump it off to either one of them. We always got huge yards. We did that play once or maybe twice in the division game and once in the Miami game, and both had huge runs, huge gains. Why they never went back to that, why we ran Sony Michel up the middle 15 times out of 20 is beyond me. It was the play calling that cost us the last two games of the season.
See, I think he did a good job for what he had personnel-wise, right? With Josh McDaniels and play call.
I mean, I think you're right. He can want to run it from the one, but you don't really have the personnel.
Right. I think at times you were questioning some of his play calling. The thing I would ask, I would say more than anything, it's not necessarily the play calling. It's about maybe utilizing your personnel that could help you. Because there were times where I felt like, man, why don't they get Burkhead more involved in the
right game? Burkhead specifically.
Right. I think he was the number one. And you go, why are they not getting him more? So is that Josh McDaniels? Is that Belichick? I mean, who's that fall on?
Right. 617-779-7937 is the number to jump aboard. We'll go back and revisit the Tom Brady, Jim Gray interview where it was only about four questions or so, all about the offseason, all about free agency, if and when or where he's going to play, all of that. So we'll dive into that with you guys, as well as Tom E. Curran will join us at 1 o'clock. This is NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Back to NFL Sunday on Sports Radio WEEI.
Tom, there's a tremendous amount of speculation as to where you're going to play next season. Every outlet and every expert now has you going from anywhere to 14 to 17 different teams. I know you say you don't pay attention to what is written or what is printed. However, you cannot avoid this because being in Boston, it's just everywhere. How are you dealing with all of this speculation and seemingly everybody knowing where you're going more so than you know?
Well, I can only say how I feel, and that's, you know, what's the truth to me and what's authentic to me. And you're right. I have no decisions that I've made, and there won't be for any considerable time. So I know there's speculation. There always is. That's just part of being in professional sports and being a professional athlete. And, you know, when people aren't talking about this season, they want to talk about next season. And the reality of next season is quite a ways away. So I have some other things that are happening at this time. Like I said, spending some time with my family and my loved ones and giving them the time they need. And then as people begin to plan for next season, like I said, these things will take care of themselves.
There you go. Tom Brady on with Scratchy, who, and we replayed it earlier in the hour, it was like a 4-minute interview. He's hit the Tommy number about 8 or 10 times. He called him Tommy.
Right.
He's pretty hard to listen to.
Scratchy?
Scratchy is.
I mean, I never listened to that anyways.
No, I know. But you get stuff out of it, though, is the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, we always use it on our show. But
well, it's good to get it afterwards.
Yeah,
right? I mean, how many times are you really driving around? Oh, you know what? I got to make sure I get that Scratchy interview.
No. We do that a little bit later on. But it's Keith and Wiggy here, NFL Sunday. Tommy Curran will join us at 1 o'clock. You can join us as well, 617-779-7937. Really, the headlines of the day, Titans upset the Ravens. Wiggy was right about the Ravens
losing. They upset them. They
smacked them.
They stomped
them around. They stomped them. 49ers with a convincing win over the Vikings. Two more games today that you can listen to on WEEI. Kevin Stefanski from the Vikings gets the Browns job, so Josh McDaniels will be back. And Julian Edelman tried to fight a car out in Beverly Hills and was arrested last night. Those are sort of the right headlines. But as for the Tom Brady interview, my takeaways, Wiggy, obviously he's 100% playing next year.
Right.
Like that is,
I mean, he's been telling us.
He could not possibly be more clear about that.
He's been telling us that, God, since, I mean, his
forever.
Week one.
Forever. Now, he also did drop a hopefully can continue again. He said, like, hopefully.
He's got to run that
continue
by the wife. That
yeah,
means
that must be that. He didn't say it by name, but I'm pretty sure he's been watching Free Solo a lot. He says
he
watches
a lot of
documentaries
where people do like some extraordinary things that people say they could never do.
Right. So he's really into Free Solo. All right. I mean, it's a good movie. You watch that?
No, that's not for you. Yeah, it's not.
Oh,
right
no,
for
you've
me.
Talked about this on the
air. Yeah, I
mean,
I really want to watch a guy who climbs up a mountain
like
with
a real life Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, no. Yeah, right.
It was kind of intense, though.
Of incredible human feats.
like Kobayashi or Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, I don't
know. It's the guy who can eat 1,000 hot dogs in one sitting. These are the kind of documentaries I watch.
Let me see you infiltrate the Mexican cartel.
Yeah. The other thing was no contract talks as of yet, which isn't a surprise to me.
No.
The season's been over for a week.
Right.
But that's basically what he was saying is, now's not really the time for that.
You would tell us?
Probably not. But I take him at his word right there where he's like, listen, the season's a week.
Yeah, it's a little decompress, let it go. You know, his agent Don Yee will probably reach out and say, "Hey, listen,
what are we doing here?
Let's make some time to talk. What's going on?"
Because for the Patriots, there's incentive to, if they're going to sign him, do it before he hits free agency.
Yes,
just because of all the dead cap space and all that stuff.
That's the biggest thing, because when you look at that, and we talked about that a little bit on the Greg Hill show, but that's the biggest thing is. If he signs, and we could talk a little bit about with Tommy Kern when he comes up. If Brady signs after the March 18th deadline, that's $13 million hit that the Patriots are going to take.
Right.
So regardless of who your quarterback is, add $13 million to that.
Right. So even if it's Jared Stidham at $1 million or whatever,
right.
It's $14.5 million.
But if you do it beforehand, now you could cut that in half, but you can do that with Brady.
Because you still think he's going to be back next year? That's what you've been adamant about?
I think it's going to be somewhere around $25-26 million, and then you add that 6.75 on top of that. So I think there'll be about $30 million tied up for Brady for the next 2 years.
Yeah, could be. I mean, I wonder, you're looking around the league right now, and you're looking at one quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, who wasn't even the team starter at the beginning of the year, and he's got his team into the AFC championship game. Of course, he'll be facing a franchise quarterback, whether it's Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. On the other side,
can you get me the best running back in the league?
He's available.
I think, I think that's the thing that people, they miss out on. They just say, well, look at Tannehill. Look at the Titans. They're doing it. They don't have their franchise quarterback, but you got the best running back in the league.
Yeah, that helps.
It's...
And a damn good coach. I love Vrabel.
You can't... That's the thing that I think people tend to gloss over.
Mm-hmm.
If you got the best running back in the league and you're building your team with running the football, you're similar to the Baltimore Ravens, you go, okay, we're going to run the football... We might be able to be one of those teams where we can get it done just with our run game.
Now, I don't know if this 100% seals it, but at the very least, good news for everybody who wants Brady back that McDaniels isn't going anywhere. Because that would be just sort of another thing that he would have to adjust to. And it would also make him going to another team kind of more similar than coming back for one more year in a sense, right? Where if he has to bring in and work with a new offensive coordinator, or maybe it's even working just more with Belichick, because Belichick would probably have to pick up more of the offensive slack, but he doesn't have to worry about that. So if he comes back, it's the same offensive coordinator.
I think the McDaniels news is big news,
and it
ties into Brady coming back. I think that is now a major piece of Brady's decision on what he's going to do next year, knowing that, okay, I have Josh McDaniels coming back. That will, that will definitely be a big part of things that fall into play. We know that it's his family, his wife, his kids, where he's living, all that stuff. And then you throw Josh McDaniels right into it.
I can't imagine, though, that Giselle is on board with another season. She's like, enough is enough. She's like, and this year you were miserable. Because isn't that the key? Like, how can he, now there's no guarantees in anything, but how can you have a better chance that next year is at least, I don't know if more fun's the right way of putting it, but not obviously a Super Bowl is the end goal,
right?
But there's a difference between losing out in the Super Bowl and having a really good team and doing everything that you can, and then also what happened this year where he just never felt like the offense.
I think Giselle is 100% on board.
See, I think she'll be more on board if the Patriots don't offer him a contract or they lowball him, because then she's going to be motivated to have him stick it back to the Pats. Revenge.
What you're saying as far as him playing, right?
I think right now she would probably prefer that he does not play. But if she finds out that the Patriots are like, nah, we're going to move on from you, then she's going to say, are they kidding me? Screw them. You're going wherever you want to go, and it's going to be a real revenge tour. Not like Kyle Van Noy's, but a real one.
See, here's what I would say with Giselle, because, you know, you think about this, and a lot of guys deal with it when they're dealing with their wives and playing this game. She probably, of course, ultimately, every wife wants their husband to not play a violent sport, but she also realizes that when she met him, this is what he did for a living, so this is what he loves to do. It would be no different than him saying, hey, listen, I want you to stop walking the runway, even though, you know, she still feels like that's something that she can do.
Right.
She's not going to take that away from him. So I think ultimately she's on board with whatever decision that he makes. She probably gives her opinion and says, hey, here's what I'd love you to do for you to do, but it's your choice. Whatever decision you make, where I'm 100% behind you. And she knows that he's playing, so she's probably already told him, listen, play as long as you want.
Yeah.
And you know, and whatever you feel like, the where you want to play, then that's fine. Play as long as
But don't be like a sad sack, though, this year. Like, you got to go somewhere where, or even if it's staying, it's got to be better than this year.
Right? Like, I don't even really think she really gets into that as much.
I don't know. Like, he was pretty miserable during the press conferences and everything else. You don't think he brought any of that home?
Well, I think he brings it home, and she's probably, you know, she's like, oh, you know, I wish you know, maybe they'll add somebody, or, you know, maybe the guys will catch the ball.
Right. Although hard to be really all that miserable when you live in a mansion with Giselle. Should be, you know, pretty good.
Right. You know, she could be like, Tommy, look what we have here.
Yeah. This is pretty good, right? He's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
so I think she's all, I factor her into as she's got, she's supporting him in every way. So I think when his decision, he looks at it, he goes, okay, I know my wife is set. She supports my every move.
Tom and Franklin has an interesting point on Josh McDaniels. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. I just, you know, one of the things Brady said is he's still got a lot to prove, and there's no definition around what that is. But, you know, we know there's speculation that there's always been this thing between him and Belichick as to who can win without the other one. Quite frankly, you know, after six Super Bowls and all the other success he's had in his career, what's really left for him to prove other than maybe I can do this without him? So McDaniel staying, in my opinion, isn't necessarily the nail in the coffin that I think some people think it might be, because he's a direct line to Belichick, and, you know, stays out. If he stays out,
but
now it gives him another opportunity to say,
Tom, I don't think when he says there's something to prove, I don't think that's showing that I have to win without Bill Belichick. I think that's just him saying, I want to prove that I can still play this game at a high level, still be competitive, still compete, still help a team get to the Super Bowl, and still win Super Bowls. I think that's what he's talking about when he says he's still got a lot to prove.
I thought the same way, Wiggy, but when you start reading everything, he said nothing new. The only thing he's really stressed on that's, I don't want to say new, but different, is the whole thing to prove. And quite, the proven thing is he's proven he can win, all that other stuff. Now it's a matter of proving it without the other folks that have dictated it, who gets to play with and who doesn't get to play with.
Yeah, but every year it's a new year. So just because you've proven that you can win, you want to now show that you can do it again.
Right. He says he has to prove stuff to himself, too.
Right.
He's like, he's not trying to prove to, you know, even the fans or, you know, people in the media, like,
right,
he's just trying to prove to himself that I can go out there and at 43 have a great season.
Right.
That's what he's talking about.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's not, oh, I've won six Super Bowls, I don't have to prove that I can win another. It's no, this year is a new challenge for me. For me to see if I can get to that pinnacle. Can I prove that I can win another Super Bowl? Can I win, not another, but win a Super Bowl this season?
See, what I thought he was going to say about McDaniels, because on the call screen it said, McDaniels not a sure thing or whatever. Do you think there's any chance at all that McDaniel says, well, maybe to be a better head coaching candidate, I should go to college for a couple of years, or I should leave Belichick? That's where I thought he was going to say, because we're all like, oh, Stefanski got the job, so McDaniels is back. Well, is there any scenario where he's not back? Like, maybe he's
mad about McDaniels?
Belichick. Yeah. Could he go somewhere?
So. Where he?
Yeah, I don't know what the college openings there are, because I don't think
Bill is the only one that
contractually, I don't think he can take the same job somewhere else. The Patriots would block him from that.
Right. So
he can only get promoted, I believe.
Right. So that means they'd have to promote him to like assistant head coach.
Yeah, maybe. So that's probably not going to happen.
I mean, I know, but let's just say college, right? Yeah, I don't think he has to go to college to prove that he can be another.
Well, 2 years in a row, he's been passed over.
Right.
He's wanted jobs 2 years in a row and didn't get it. We'll talk about Josh McDaniels to Tom E. Kern, who will join us at 1 o'clock. This is NFL Sunday as we take you up until 2:30 in the NFL divisional round. It is Keefe and Wiggy here on NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
You're listening to NFL Sunday. Let's get back to it on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back here on NFL Sunday, Keefe and Wiggy taking up until 2:30. And then right here on WEEI, Chiefs and Texans at 3:05 and Packers Seahawks at 6:40. Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston will join us at 1 o'clock. Let's go to the phones right now. We have Bob in Rhode Island. He joins us next. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, I used to work for a national company. I was just wondering about this Josh McDaniels. Worked for a national company, and if you showed interest in a job and you went through the whole process and they made the commitment to select you and then you turn them down like he did at Indy,
yeah,
that leaves a poor taste in people's mouths. And with the company I used to work for, if you did something like that, it was a long time before they selected you again.
Yeah. Bob, right. I think that it is significant. I really do.
Right.
And people are wondering, like, oh, it's the NFL. They have short memories. Or, oh, it's the NFL. They'll just take whoever the best guy is. I don't know. There's probably a history of players being blackballed in the league. Who's to say that a coordinator is being blackballed to become a head coach?
Yeah, I definitely believe that. It's like, you might want to be careful with this one.
Right.
You know.
But I wonder, like, were those teams, like, how kind of serious does it get? Like, are these teams inviting him on interviews and don't even actually want to talk to him? They're just jerking him around? Or are they actually considering, hey, maybe he comes in here, maybe he gives us a great explanation as to what happened with Indy, and then we're going to hire him?
Well, if you're bringing him in,
yeah,
you're asking him about the coach situation.
It's like right out of the gate.
Right. He is then giving you his reasoning on what happened.
Yeah.
So now you go, okay, all right.
All right, I believe him? Or either, yeah, is that... Does that make sense to me?
Like, all right, I can see what went on, blah, blah, blah. And then you go through the interview process and you start. Because I would love to be a fly on a wall for an interview.
Oh, me too.
And what that process is really about, right? Because, you know, most coaches that want to be head coaches, I bet you they have a PDF of their PowerPoint.
Oh, they come in there like, can I hook this up to the auxiliary card here? Let me just put this projection screen down.
They
and here
probably
we go.
Have that thing at home. Even if they're like a graduate assistant right now.
Doesn't matter. They're ready to go.
They are ready to go, and they're just, you know, whatever.
Can I plug in my Microsoft Surface here?
Whatever. And the one that they have just has the team blank, so as soon as they know a team.
Right, they can put the logo in really nice. Really nice.
A nice little logo, maybe some, you know, maybe a little quick little highlight.
Oh, that'd be good. Introduction. Yeah. Some of your best plays. Here's some of my best plays.
And so
and let's go.
And I'd love to be in there and go, okay, because if I'm an owner of a team and I want a specific guy, because that's what I generally think they all do.
They have to have, at the very least,
here's my
somebody at the top. Yeah, they have to.
Here's my front runner. As long as he comes in there and he's, you know, not blackout drunk,
right?
He's probably the guy I'm going with.
He's not attacking a car like Julian Edelman the night before. Yeah.
He's not coming in there, you know, talking about, you know, how good my wife looks in a dress
all
when
this
we
nonsense.
Went to dinner.
Yeah, picking up the family photo and whistling at it. Like, no, none of that. He comes in there and, you know, if he's the guy that you want. But I also feel like it doesn't hurt to go through all your interviews. And that's why I thought the Giants and the Panthers, it's like, man, they really freaked out that like Matt Rhule or Joe Judge was going to get away. At least Cleveland talked to everybody.
But see, that tells me that the Giants and the Panthers knew that knew who they wanted from the giddy.
Yeah, you think of that? Yeah.
Yes. Because if you're going to say, okay, we're not going to go through all our interview process, then that tells me you wanted that guy from Jump Street.
Right.
With the Cleveland Browns, for example, right? They interviewed a number of people.
I think eight.
Eight people.
Yeah.
So they maybe didn't know who they necessarily wanted. They might have had just somebody who was the leader in the clubhouse, but they probably like, okay, you know, we could maybe go with one of the eight guys.
Well, Stefanski apparently was the runner-up last year to Freddie Kitchens.
Right.
And so they obviously liked him all year. They were following him all year, and, you know, he was still available.
And then another thing that when you look at it is going, okay, what's the chances? They probably felt like we're not going to lose Stefanski. Where else is he going
to
go?
No, there was nowhere else to go. If you're Cleveland, you're nowhere else to go. You're the only job remaining. All right, we get your phone calls. Again, we're on until 2:30, leading you right into the Texans and Chiefs game, followed by Seahawks and Packers. Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston will join us coming up next. This is NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance, the right coverage at the right price, Kaplansky.com, and also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank.